Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Bob, thanks for coming up and spending some time with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Bob, you look at this game today between Arkansas and LSU, and we just got the Arkansas lineup. They will start. Serrano will bat first. He will DH. Vincent second, and he will play center field. Anderson will bat third and play left field. Ficicello will bat fourth and play second base. Spoon will bat fifth and play right field. Mahan will bat sixth, and play third base. Fisher will bat seventh and play first. McAfee will play short and bat eighth. And Ramirez will start again at catcher for Wise, and he will bat ninth. So no Jake Wise today, I guess, still a little under the weather.
Yeah, that hurts Arkansas a lot because Jake Wise is a great – he may be the best defensive catcher in the SEC, and Dave Van Horn says he's as good as defensive catcher as Arkansas had, and that's saying a lot considering the guys they've had, like James McCann, who was a second-round pick of the Tigers and is moving up through their organization. And, of course, Dave was around Tom Pagnozzi and people like that, so that's high praise. And, Ramirez, I thought, did a good job yesterday. Dave Van Horn pointed out that you didn't notice he was in there, so that was good. You didn't see him screw up anything. And it's also interesting, I guess they're sitting down Ferris and putting Ficicello at the second and having Fisher in the lineup. Of course, Fisher had the hit that hit
Mahan's foot,
but he still got credit for a hit. So obviously wanting to get, more left-handed hitting in there against a right-hander like Nolan, maybe feeling like, Ferris has been struggling, struck out a few times yesterday, and then maybe get Fisher's left-handed bat in there and give Ferris's right-handed bat a little rest. So that's interesting. But yeah, I'm sure they'd love to have Jake Wise behind the play because he's really good at controlling the running game, throws out a lot of base runners. He's a leader. He calls all the pitches. I assume Ramirez is not calling the pitches. I assume he's getting the pitch calls from Dave Jordan, Dave Van Horn.
I think he is. But like yesterday, Dan Van Horn said, you didn't really notice Ramirez, and that's the sign that he did a good job because you didn't notice him.
Yeah, he did a nice job, and I'm sure they'd love for him to get some hits. But really, if he can just help handle the pitching staff, catch a clean game. I think there was a wild pitch. That wasn't his fault. And, I'm sure if he can just handle, the defense, that's the main thing they're looking for. And if he gets any offense, that's just gravy.
And Trey, a quick update. We just got on live fan feedback. You might already know this, but Frazier.
Dancing donkey.
Yeah, Frazier added A&M. So it's USC, Georgia, Bama, and A&M. Do you think that Arkansas will be, fifth on
it? Arkansas is going to be the fifth one.
I don't get why he doesn't put Arkansas first. I mean, is this kind of a shot that he might not end up a Razorback?
No. It's just he said in no particular order, and he's just putting them out one an hour. So next hour, expect that Arkansas will be listed there. If it's not, I would be a bit surprised. But until that happens, there's no reason to get all upset because in his top four right now, you have USC, Georgia, A&M, and Alabama. Okay, well, Alabama wasn't listed first. They were listed fourth.
Right.
So, I mean, really? We're so far away from National Signing Day, too, Bob, that deciding or paying this much attention to where this kid is naming his top five, and now that Arkansas is not in the four that he's already announced, but yet he's already said, I'm going to do one an hour, and I'm naming my top five in no particular order. So just because you're announced last doesn't mean that you're at the bottom of the pecking order.
Well, when they do the Miss America pageant, they always, do it in reverse order, and then it's down to the last two girls, so maybe.
You watch that?
Good-looking women. Who doesn't like that?
I think the deal is because he is an Arkansas kid, Trey, I think that's maybe why you kind of wonder why Arkansas wasn't first. But that would be the only thing that I could see. If he's not from Arkansas, then okay, yeah, but he is an Arkansas kid.
Yeah, and I guess I can see where people in Arkansas are concerned over this, but I really don't think they need to be. I think they just need to relax, let him announce his five. If Arkansas is not in the five, then you start asking questions. But I think Arkansas is going to be in the five, so I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. Some other Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback that, Bob, I wanted to get your thoughts on. Dan in North Little Rock, how many schools outside the SEC could afford to increase its number of baseball scholarships? And there is your answer why the limit is only 12. We got into that a little bit earlier in the show with the fact that, college baseball They have to carry so many players, definitely more than basketball, but yet they get fewer scholarships than basketball.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but you're right. The smaller schools, you know, the thing about the NCAA is everybody has the same amount of votes. You know, Arkansas and Alabama will get more votes than South Alabama or ULR or whoever. So, yeah, I think most schools, they're stretched to the limit right now with what they can do. So, yeah, SEC schools and Big 12 schools and Pac-10 schools, you know, could probably all afford to add scholarships and would love to add scholarships, but realistically it's just not going to happen because a lot of this other schools just couldn't afford it, or if they could, they don't want to spend the money on that.
Well, do you think then maybe in, let's say in 10 years that the big conferences are no longer a part of the NCAA and they've develop their own, not a super conference is the word I'm looking for, but their own affiliation.
Right, their own organization.
Their own organization. I think baseball scholarships would increase under that because they would have the money.
I could see that happening. You can talk about golf scholarships, tennis scholarships. I mean, across the board, a lot of those sports have, and women have more scholarships than the men because they're trying to make up the difference between football and everybody and all the other sports.
Matt, I know it's something that just seems like we're just beaten to death, but baseball, if you're a smarter player and you can get some academic help, you're probably going to be able to play baseball because of the fact that you're getting some of that academic money and you're not having to use up, or a coach is not having to use up so much of his scholarship money on you.
Yeah, you're right, and you see that with, and I'll give you an example. My sisters, they both are a lot smarter than me, but they both were, you know, around 31 on their ACT, and so they went to school together and got half athletic, half academic, so they ended up getting a full scholarship. But I think it's more important for sports like that where you need to have better grades, you know, higher ACT scores, where you can find a way to get some more money.
Let's go to Danny in Sherwood. Danny, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just got a chance to tune in, man. I'm sure y'all beat it to death today, but what are your thoughts on Hibbert? I mean, the coach has been getting slammed, and, you know, I talked to Joe during the training there, and he said y'all talked about it a little bit, but
well, I think in
the right
in
the call game,
and Danny, Hibbert's a great player and a great defender, but the way that they set that up was they were going to switch every screen, and so you know, there's just a. I think it was the right move because you're switching every screen, and you honestly don't think that you're going to give up a layup right there. You think it's going to be a jump shot, so you want somebody who can put a little pressure on them. And Paul George just closed too quick, and my thought is, Danny, that you switch every screen, but you obviously have somebody helping back on LeBron, where you don't want LeBron to get the ball. You want somebody else for the Heat to have to shoot that ball.
Yeah, and LeBron got the ball, and that's one thing. I mean, it's like George said, it's okay for LeBron to get the ball, but they were right up on his hip, and you don't want to be on his hip. No. And he was on his hip, and they were willing to let him take a jumper to win the game. But when you get on his hip, it's like LeBron said himself, I'm one dribble. All I need is one dribble.
Yeah, Paul George closed out too quick, and you know, maybe he didn't think that there was enough time that he could drive to the lane, but he closed out just a little too quick where you want, even if LeBron takes a dribble, you want him shooting a jumper from 12 feet. You don't want that lane to be wide open. I thought it was a good play that Eric Spoelstra drew up. And, you know, the way Indiana defended it, I thought was a little wrong because I would think that you would want to be double-teaming LeBron and make somebody else catch it and shoot a jump
shot. Yeah, but, you know, I understand that. But you've got the role players playing for Miami right now, Matt, that – are playing better than anyone in that's left in the playoffs and throughout the playoffs, and when you double LeBron, it's been proven in his career is when he's his most dominant when because he sees the open guy.
Well, and that's the thing. If you throw it into LeBron, does he have time to pass it to somebody else? What I'm saying is you don't let LeBron catch the ball.
You don't let him drive.
He's the best player in the world. Yeah, he's the best player in the world. So you make somebody else beat you. You don't want LeBron to beat you.
So you think, Trey, you guys think that it was the right move to keep Hibbert out of the game? Because,
yes, definitely, I mean, because you look at the guys that were on the court, and Hibbert probably would have ended up having Ray Allen in the corner on a switch.
Or Chris Bosh can get that shot off with 2.2 seconds to go with either a first stab, head fake, anything. He's that talented. He could have gotten and he was, you know, he was quietly – he's a silent killer in that game. People don't give Chris Bosh a lot of credit in that game. They're not talking about him a lot. But he was playing extremely well in that game. So I think that's what Indiana's coach was really worried about was Chris Bosh in that last 2 seconds. And he even mentioned him. So
yeah,
I just want to
throw
that out.
Well, that's his strength,
all right, thanks,
too.
Danny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Danny.
All right, guys.
His strength is that mid-range jumper. Trey, when you look at NBA bigs, you know, David West has a good mid-range jumper, but Bosh, I have to put him in the top five as far as a big that can really shoot that mid-range jumper.
Yeah, no, you're right. Mac in Arkansas Car Stereo and the Keefe Service Company live fan feedback. Hey, Joe, Trey, Matt, isn't it Title IX that says you must have the same number of scholarships for both men and women athletics? With football taking 85 scholarships, you have to have several women's team sports that make up for it. Thanks. And, yes, he is right. And that's why you have generally two more women's sports at a school than you do men's sports. And scholarship numbers are bigger in women's athletics per sport than they are in some sports for men's athletics. But I still think that you could find a way, if a school added a sport, that baseball would be able to get more scholarships.
Well, yeah, and I think you could add more women's scholarships if you want to, but schools don't want to do that either. And they don't necessarily have to have the exact numerical equal. I think the spirit is sort of supposed to be the spirit. But, yeah, generally schools have two more women's sports. That's why I see equestrian, rowing, you know, gymnastics that you don't see for the men. It's basically legislated by the government, so you can't ignore it.
Bob, let's talk about this Arkansas-LSU matchup coming up. Well, we hope at 4:30. Right now, in the bottom of the sixth, Vanderbilt leads South Carolina 3-2, and this game has really started to crawl at a snail's pace, but it was also helped out by not starting on time because of the previous game, Ole Miss and Alabama. Alabama beating Ole Miss 7-5 in 10 innings today, but there's a lot of buzz around the Hoover Met right now because you've got Stanek on the mound for Arkansas and Nola on the mound for LSU, and I know a lot of scouts are really looking forward to the matchup.
Oh, yeah, it's a great matchup. Like Paul Maneri, the LSU coach, said, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a college baseball fan, just a baseball fan, because you know, you're probably going to see both those guys pitching in the major leagues. Stanek, you know, I've seen him rated like a top 15 pick. Nola's a sophomore. She's not draft eligible, but he'll probably be a first-round pick next year. And you know, Nola beat Arkansas in Fayetteville, and Stanek beat LSU the next day, and both pitched really well. So we'll have to see. It'll be really good to see them going head-to-head because, you know, you can talk about Bobby Wald. Ole Miss has had a great year, some of the Vandy pitchers, but arguably these are the two best pitchers in the SEC, which arguably makes them the two best pitchers in the country. And, yeah, it should be an electric atmosphere, and runs will probably be very hard to come by for both teams.
And if you watch the game tonight or listen to it on the Razorback Sports Network from IMG, which the flagship of the Buzz Radio Network, 103.7 The Buzz, will have the game at 4:30. You will hear a lot of LSU fans coming through the sound.
Yeah, LSU may have more fans here. I think they had more fans here than Alabama did yesterday. That's the impression I got. I mean, LSU's won this tournament, I think, 9 times. Obviously, their fans travel well. I'm sure they like coming to the tournament and partying, just like Arkansas basketball fans used to go to Old Reunion Arena in Dallas and all that. So, yeah, I think it'll be a home field advantage for LSU, no doubt.
Let's go to Ozzie in Conway. Ozzie, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, guys. First of all, about the basketball game last night, it was, you know, obviously a really good game. But, you know, I think Frank Vogel's a good coach. Sometimes when you make the right move and it still just doesn't work out, and that's all I can really say about that. But, you know, deal with Josh Frazier. You know, first of all, he's doing this, you know, obviously nearly school is down, but you said the most important thing we need to realize is it's not in any particular order. People say, well, USC was his favorite team growing up. He listed them first, so obviously he's going out there. That's not necessarily true. Even if it is true, the difference between – I know where people are going with this. People are saying, well, we couldn't get Tenpenny, now we're not going to get Josh Frazier. Tenpenny, the coaching staff, didn't have enough time to really recruit him that hard and build a relationship with him over the course of some several months, whereas opposed to when they got there, they just really had about a month and change. I think whoever that was that, gave y'all that update, it's his top five, not his top four. So there's one more team he's going to announce on Twitter, in less than an hour. And I can't possibly imagine Arkansas not being on the list. I got to say, Texas A&M and Georgia kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't see that one coming. But the other thing is, I don't like the way he's handling this. I was wondering what y'all's take on Mac. I mean, he's also posted things I kind of think are a little bit immature, like saying, I bet y'all are, really getting scared now. And then all these cool little hashtags he's got on there. I just don't think he's handling it the right way. And I think he's being really immature about it.
Well, there's no set way of how a high school student should handle it. You see some of them use the hats. I guess should we just say, okay, well, just tell us who your top five are, put them out on Twitter and tell us, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, here are my top five. Southern Cal, Georgia, A&M, Alabama, Arkansas, and just be done with it? Or,
yeah.
I mean, this is the only time he's going to put out his top five for potentially the college that he's going to go to. He's finally narrowing it down, and he's trying to have his day for it.
I think he's just having some fun with it.
I think that's exactly what he's doing, Bob.
Maybe I'm being too hard on the kid, but either way, if he doesn't have Arkansas in the top five, I'm still not going to be a worry about it because it's. I mean, it's still May. I mean, we've got a long way to go until National Signing Day. It'd be a little bit surprising, though. And I was wondering if you, Trey, could recap the game, which I know that Ryan Stanek in the series versus the LSU beat them, but he didn't go up against Aaron Nola. So what happened in that first game? I mean, I know that we lost. I can't really remember the score. If Arkansas fared well against Nola, we just couldn't pull it out, or if it was a blood or what the deal was.
Okay, thanks, Ozzie. Appreciate it. Bob's got the notes right with him.
Okay, yeah, first game, LSU won 6-2, and Nola pitched the first complete game of his career, and I think since then he's pitched like four or five complete games. So, yeah, he went 9 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 1 base on ball, 10 strikeouts, 110 pitches. And Barrett Aston didn't pitch real bad. He went 5 2/3, gave up 7 hits, but only 3 earned runs, 5 runs. And, LSU they have a really tough lineup. And then the next night, I'm going to double-check my notes here. So, yeah, Stank went 6 2/3, 4 hits, no runs. Then you need a little help from the bullpen with Beeks and Simpson and Gunoff finished up. The Irons had a big lead in that. They were leading 8-0. LSU scored 3 runs in the ninth to make it a little more respectable. But basically both guys had really dominant stuff. And, so it'll be really interesting to see them going head-to-head tonight.
Joe, open up the phone lines. I've got a question, a trivia question, and Bob, you cannot answer this because you might know it. Matt, you can't answer. This day, May 23rd, something happened in baseball. It was the first time it had ever happened. Something happened in the game of baseball on May 23rd. The first person, 1-800-477-1037, 433-1037.
Trey, I got the answer.
That can give us the correct answer. Joe, I don't want you to get
this. I know. I'm just messing with you.
We'll win a dozen Nike golf balls. And, Matt, did you ever play with those that you got?
I did. You know what? They're really, really good because, for me, Trey, you know that my style, because I'm about a 10 handicap, and so I want feel around the green, but I need less side spin on probably my driver and longer irons, and that's what it does. It had less side spin on my driver, but yet still was able to control it around the green. I think they're a really good ball, and it's not the most expensive golf ball out there, but played with it, and really good.
Let's see if Jeff has the answer. Jeff, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, man. I was just going to take a guess. Was it the first perfect game?
Nope, not the first perfect game. Thanks for calling. Let's try David. David, welcome to Overtime.
He was close. It was the first no-hitter. Boston Red Sox.
You are correct. 1876, Boston's Joe Borden pitched the very first no-hitter in the history of the National League. Bob, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, you learn something every day. David, hold on. You just won you a dozen Nike golf balls. And, Joe, those are sitting down in my office. So if you can take his information and then, I guess, take those down to the front so he can pick those up sometime soon when he likes. Well, Bob, make a prediction real quick. We got about 15 seconds. Who wins tonight?
I got to go with LSU. I just think they're maybe the best team in the country, even though they're ranked number two. They hit. They're a great defensive team. They pitch. They got a good bullpen. That's hard to pick against LSU.